Welcome to the Bayshore Podcast. As listeners each week, whether through iTunes or through the church app, you're part of our church family. We would love for you to share stories of how Bayshore is impacting your life by sending us an email at amen@bayshorecc.org. As always, you can find all kinds of information and content on our website, bayshorecc.org. There's also our church app, which you could download by going to bayshorecc.org/app. So thanks again for joining us this week, and we hope that today's message is a blessing to you.
What's up, online family? I want to shout out to everybody who's watching, whether you're watching on Facebook Live or listening to the podcast or the app or 99.1. Welcome to the basement. And I want to give a special shout out to Richie and Tina and your kids right now. And for those of you who do not know the Thurman family, this is the Thurmans right here. And there's Richie and Tina and their kids. And last Sunday, directly after the service, Richie, right here, he grabbed me out in the lobby and he said, "Hey man, next Sunday, we're all going to Costa Rica." And I was like, "We all are going to Costa Rica? The Lord has provided, okay?" And he's like, no, our family is going to Costa Rica. But he said that they were going to be on the plane and they're going to watch us on Facebook Live while they're flying right now. And so I thought we need to make some turbulence on that plane. And so on three, let's just shout out, enjoy Costa Rica. All right, enjoy Costa Rica. This is for the Thurmans. Hope you guys have a great time. One, two, three. Enjoy Costa Rica. Anybody a little jealous? A little bit? I mean, just, yeah, it's going to be fun for them. All right, so today we are wrapping up this series that we've been in called Greater. And I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have enjoyed this series. And if you missed parts one through three, or maybe one or two of parts one through three, we have just been talking about how God is greater than your uncertainty, how God is greater than your weakness, how God is greater than your failure. And today, we're going to wrap this whole thing up by talking about a topic I have never talked about before, but I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. All right, suspense. I want to start out with a little game, okay? How many of you have ever played the game, if I were stuck on a deserted island and I could only bring one thing, what would I bring? Anybody ever played that game or thought about that before? Few people? A lot of you haven't, and what's okay about that is we're about to play it right now. And so I have a little bag here of some things that maybe you would put on your short list. I just want you to think about what would go on your short list if you were going to be on a deserted island and you could only bring one thing, okay? And so maybe you would put a knife on your short list. Now, this is a butter knife. I realize that. But just imagine this is like the Crocodile Dundee knife, okay? And this would help you on an island. How many of you would at least think about on your short list putting a knife if you were going to be stuck on an island? Anybody? Okay, that's a lot of people, all right? These people are scary, okay? Everybody move away from them. I'm just kidding. So knife, that's a good idea. What about matches? Anybody going to think about bringing any matches to this deserted island? Anybody? A few people? A lot of you aren't, okay? And listen, did you not see that scene in Castaway with Tom Hanks? It's like 27 movie minutes of him trying to light a fire, okay? So you need the matches, guys. You just need some matches. Let's see, what else do we have in here? All right, let's see if this crowd does better than the first crowd. A book. Who's bringing a book? I'm thinking about a book. Come on, book people are a little shy about it. Oh, yeah, I'll bring a book. Come on, be loud and proud. You would bring a book. All right, that's good. Got some nerds in the house. That's good. So here's a book. This is my dad's book, and so that'd be a good book to bring. I don't know. Maybe you bring a Bible since you're in church. That'd be a good thing to bring. So a book, maybe. What about a boat? Who is bringing a boat to the deserted island? Anybody bringing a boat? All right, some of you, smart people, okay? But you brought a boat, but you didn't bring gasoline, so you're not getting out of there. Okay, and some paddles, You need some paddles, that's right. Okay, so if I could only bring one thing, you know what I'm bringing? A Mountain Dew. Because, listen. An island and a Mountain Dew, the Lord has provided. That's what I think, I don't know. But maybe you would bring something different. What would you bring, okay? So you can shout me down in church, this is okay, we can be friends. Did I miss anything that somebody would bring? Anybody want to? Aspirin. Headaches on an island, that makes sense, okay. Somebody say candy. Candy? Just sit in there with some, like, chocolate. It's going to melt on the island if it's a warm island, I don't know. Neosporin, because you might get a cut. And so that's a practical one right there. Award goes to Patrick right here. Right there. That is a point. You got a point, buddy. Listen, that's funny you say that because you know what almost no one ever says? Another person. Like, aren't you going to get lonely on this island? Husbands, don't you want to bring your wives? Say yes, okay? Say yes. Bo, smart, okay? But how many of you will get lonely if you're on the island all by yourself? Anybody going to admit to that? Some of you are like introverts, are like, oh, I'm not sure if I'll get lonely. I don't know, but you will get lonely eventually, right? And so today we're going to talk about how God is greater than my loneliness, how God is greater than your loneliness, how God is greater than our loneliness. Because you don't have to be stuck on a deserted island to experience loneliness. Okay, you can experience loneliness in a basement with 100 people. You can experience loneliness with your coworkers. Shoot, you can experience loneliness at the Thanksgiving dinner table. Especially if you're at the end without the rolls. It's the bad end of the table, guys. You can experience loneliness in your marriage. You can experience loneliness anywhere. I remember when Stacey and I first got married and we had our first fight. Married people, you remember your first fight? Come on now. Like that was, yeah, okay. So listen, I can't remember exactly what our first fight was about, which is pretty much how all of our fights go. They're not really ever about anything significant. But I remember if I were to guess what it was over, my guess is it was over the dishwasher. Because in our house, okay, I got married to Stacey. And when I got married to Stacey, I had this philosophy. And my philosophy was that the dishwasher washes the dishes. Okay, dishwasher. So you put your dirty dishes into the dishwasher, and then like it magically cleans them. You open it up, and you got a clean dish, okay? That's what I thought the dishwasher did, because it's called a dishwasher. But I found out about 7 minutes into marriage that Stacey had a different philosophy about the dishwasher. Her philosophy was that you have to clean your dishes before you put them in the dishwasher. So clean that the president of the United States could eat off of these dishes clean. And I didn't understand that. 11 years ago. I don't understand that today. And so we had just gotten married, and my guess is that's what we were probably arguing over. I don't know. But I remember it was a little tense, and she was upset, and I was upset, and she just said, I need some time to myself, and she went to the bedroom, and she closed the door. And I thought that meant she needed some time to herself. Like, I think those were her exact words. And so I thought she needed some time to herself. So I took that as an opportunity to catch up on some Netflix shows. And then later on, I made myself a nice little dinner. I had a nice little evening. And I thought, man, I am nailing this husband thing. Like, I'm listening to her. I'm giving her her space. I got this. And then finally, I had to go into the bedroom because my eyes were tired from all the Netflix. So I needed to go to sleep. And so I go in there, and Stacey is just sitting there looking at me. And she's like, I can't believe you left me in here all alone. And I was like, the dishwasher doesn't wash dishes. Leave me alone doesn't mean leave me alone. Like, this marriage thing is tough. And she said, how could you leave me? And I was thinking, because you told me to. But I didn't say that, okay? I did not say that. But I learned that night that leave me alone meant follow me in here and let's work this thing out. Ladies, is that right? I learned that. And but she was in our house, and she felt lonely. And it's possible to be in a relationship and experience loneliness. It's possible to experience loneliness and have friends and coworkers and have a church family. It's possible to experience loneliness in your sacrifices, in your dreams, in your experiences. Okay, you don't have to go to a deserted island and have a ball named Wilson to experience loneliness. You don't have to have your family leave you for a week at Christmas to experience loneliness. But the good news is there's some things that we can do to help fight against loneliness. And so we're going to look at maybe one of my favorite psalms, maybe my favorite psalm in the Bible. It's Psalm 139. If you brought your Bible, you can head there. If you brought your Bible app, you can head there as well. If you don't have that, we'll throw it on the screen. And David, the psalmist writing here, here's what he says. I love this. This is such a great psalm. He says, oh, Lord, you have examined my heart and know what? Everything about me. Oh, Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. Now, That word everything in the Hebrew, it means everything. It means the good and it means the bad. It means like what you did an hour ago and what you did yesterday and what you did last week and what you did last month and what you did last year and what you did last decade, everything. Some of you are like, everything? Uh-oh. And it's easy to kind of like let that verse freak you out, but he says, I know, or God knows everything about me. He says, God, you know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. Richie, this next part's for you. You see me when I travel. Be nice to the TSA, brother. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. Now, it's easy to let these verses that we just read, four verses, just kind of like scare you a little bit. But David, who wrote this, is not writing these words out of a place of fear. And guys, he's not saying, oh, no, God knows everything about me. This is not good. And David has some stuff in his past, like he murdered somebody. That's stuff. He cheated. I mean, that is stuff. He has some skeletons in his closet. But David knows something about God. David knows that God is a personal God. David knows that God loves his kids. And David knows that God's grace is greater than his past. And so David is actually glad that God knows everything about him. Listen, this is important. God knows what you have done and what you are doing and what you will do, and he loves you anyway. And the reason that God knows everything about you is because he's present with you. Don't miss that, okay? The reason God knows everything about you is because he is present with you. And so one of the greatest promises that God gives us in this book is that he is present with us. And we see all the way from Genesis to Revelation, okay? God's present with Adam and Eve in the garden at the very beginning. And then all the way at the end, in the very last sentence of the book of Revelation, John writes that God, or Jesus, is with God's people. And so he's present with us. And the reason that is a great promise is because God's presence is his promise for your loneliness. God's presence is his promise for your loneliness. But how do we experience that when we experience loneliness? If you're taking notes, the first thing is this. You have to lean into God's presence. You have to lean into God's presence. Everybody say, lean in. Lean in. Okay, so I told you all a few years ago that Stacy and I got these insurance monitors in our car. And the insurance monitors, maybe you know what they do. Okay, they basically watch everything you do. And at the end of 6 months, it sends you a report for all the times you did something wrong, like you brake too hard or you accelerated too fast. Anybody know about the insurance monitor thingies? Okay, and so obviously when we got those, it turned into a full-on competition in our house to see who the better driver was, which I won. It's this little thing called science that has proven that I am the better driver. And so what I hadn't told you is that we had switched insurance companies after we did that, and we got with another insurance company, and they sent us monitors again. And so when these monitors came in the mail, immediately Stacy started trash-talking me. And I was like, it's on. Okay, like she might be like better loading these dishwashers, but I've seen how she drives. She's like Richard Petty out there, and I'm the king of the insurance discount. And so we started like competing, and this time the monitors in our car, it would beep every time we did something wrong. And they were sensitive. I know this because all I heard when I was driving around were a bunch of beeps. And these monitors also came with an app so that Stacy could check my stats in real time throughout the day. And so, like, sometimes I would come home and Stacy would have a smile on her face and she would be like, oh, so what happened today? And I'm like, what do you mean? Nothing happened today. And she's like, you're lying. She's like, I can see at 8:34 a.m. you braked too hard. And at 3:17 p.m. you accelerated too fast. And I'm like, we have got to get rid of this app. This is not good for me. And I felt like Stacy was following me everywhere I was going. And now I have Progressive Insurance after me. I got Stacy after me. And it was like all after me because I have this insurance monitor. And sometimes I feel like we think of God's presence like that. Like it's a giant insurance monitor just like ready to pounce on us every single time we do something wrong. And we think God's presence means that God's punishment is coming. But David in Psalms is actually glad about God's presence. David in Psalms is actually glad that God knows everything about him. And the reason David's glad about that, and I think the reason that we should be glad about that, is because God's presence means he understands us. God's presence in your life means he gets you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God gets you. God gets you. And sometimes when we're lonely, it's because we feel misunderstood. And isn't it true that the more you're around somebody, though, the more they get you? Like, for instance, my wife, Stacy, like, she gets me. When we're sitting on the couch sometimes, we'll be sitting there talking, and Stacy will say something to me or start talking to me, or she'll ask me, hey, what did you think about dinner? And if my mind even touches its big toe into the negative category, and I don't say anything, but she senses that, she'll be like, oh, I see how it is. I'm like, I didn't say anything. And she's like, you thought the chicken was dry. I'm like, how does she know? But she is in my mind, you guys. And Stacy, since we're around each other all the time, she knows my body language. She can read my facial expressions. She knows what I like. She knows what I don't like. And the people, my favorite people in life, they get me because those are the people I'm around. And everybody needs somebody in your life who gets you, who gets your humor, who gets your emotions, who understands your weird habits. Everybody needs somebody who gets you. And God gets you. He knows your heart, and he loves you anyway. He knows your past, and he knows your present, and he knows your future, and he loves you anyway. And the reason that David's glad about that, and the reason that we should be glad about that, is because that means that God is with us all the time, and so he gets us, and he's got our back. Let me show you why I say he has our back. Look at Psalms 139, starting in verse 5. David says, and this is one of the best lines in the Bible, you go before me and follow me. You, God, go before me and follow me. Maybe you're going to have a tough week this week. Maybe you're going to have a tough week at home. Maybe you got some tough stuff lined up in work this week. Maybe you got some tough things happening in your marriage. Maybe it's not tough. Maybe you got an opportunity coming up this week. You just need to know God goes before you. He is already in that situation. He is there. Maybe you're going to have a tough day today on Sunday because you're a Steelers fan and the Ravens are going to take you out. Preach it, okay? But listen, it's okay. God goes before you. Now, your team's still going to lose, but it's okay. You guys got to laugh at this. You just make me feel bad. But God goes before you, and not only that, he goes behind you. He's got your back. David goes on and he says this, you place your hand, this word's so important, you place your hand of what? Blessing on my head. We'll come back to that. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I mean, he is like an insurance plan that doesn't want to curse you. He wants to bless you. He's with you always. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. You can't get away from his presence. He goes before you and he goes behind you. Is anybody excited about that? It's good. And that is one of his best promises because his presence means he wants to place his hand of blessing on your life. And just so you know, the overwhelming amount of time when God's presence is mentioned in here, it's him blessing his people and not cursing his people. And maybe you don't know this, but the word blessing, right out of the gate in the Bible in Genesis, the word blessing shows up in Genesis more than any other book in the Bible. And when Adam and Eve are created by God, the very first thing he does is he blesses them. Do you know what his first five words were to them? You are free to eat. Come on, who knows that's a blessing right there? And so that is his characters. He wants to bless his people. Maybe your perception is that God's presence means that he wants to pounce on you. But I'm telling you, most of the time, God's presence in here means blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And he has your back and you can't escape from his presence. I love what it goes on and says in verse 8. David says, if I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. So turn to your neighbor and say, you can run, but you can't hide. Look, you can't run, you can't hide from God no matter how dark things are in your life. No matter how much you try to get away from God, you can't escape from his presence. He's always there. Which kind of reminds me of my dog, Eli. Okay, I have a picture of my boy from this week. Here's my dog, Eli. We'll throw on the screen. Right there. Everyone talks about his ears. Look, there's more to my dog than his ears. Not much more, but there's more. Actually, when we got him, he's a Chiweenie. He's a Dachshund and a Chihuahua mix. And when we got him, Stacy read online that you can tape nickels to that kind of breed's ears so that their ears hang down. Did we try it? I'm not going to answer that question. It didn't work. Anyway, but my dog Eli, I can be having the worst day. I can be grumpy. I can be mean. I cannot be the best me. And I can walk in my house, and guess who's right there with me? Eli. When I go sit on the couch, even when I'm not having my best day, guess who's right there on the couch next to me if he's not in my seat itself? Eli. I can tape nickels to his ears, guys. And guess who's not going to leave me? Eli. I had mentioned on week one that I struggled with depression about 5 years ago, a little longer than that, actually 6 or 7 years ago. And when I was having my dark days, like David just wrote about, when I was having my dark days, and I was home by myself because Stacy was at work, do you know who never left me? Eli. He was right there next to me. And I've always felt since then that God used him to remind me that God's presence is right there with me. Dark days, tough days, he's right there with me. And so you can't hide from God. And that's good because his presence is his promise for your loneliness. And he goes before you and he goes behind you. And so you can lean in to his presence. Here's the next thing that you can do if you're taking notes. You can reach out to God's people. When you're lonely, you can reach out to God's people. I saw this article the other day that was called Texts from Your Ex. And I thought we should read a few of those. Text from your, now, how many of you know there's some people in your life that it's best to just get away from, right? And so you get to see a little bit of this. Let's do this first one up there. Person says, I miss you a lot, Sierra. The ex says, you know what I miss? Oreo cereal. What? Please be serious. Where do they sell that at? I've never had Oreo cereal, but apparently somebody wants that more than this person back. Anyway, here's the next one. We'll throw up on the screen. The person writes, are you ever going to grow up and talk to me? The ex says, okay, what would you like to talk about? I'd rather talk to you in person. Okay, I'll meet you in the Blockbusters parking lot. Blockbusters isn't even a thing anymore. Exactly. That's the best one right there. And if you're here and you don't know what a Blockbuster is, okay, listen. It's like Netflix before the internet, okay? You need an Orange Julius, okay? That's what you need, okay? Last one. I have a song for you. It's called Want You Back. Please. The ex says, so sweet. Me too. What is it called? We are never, ever getting back together. T-Swift burn. Okay. But we all know there's some people in our life, it's best if you never, ever get back together with them, right? Like, it's best that there's some little space between you and them. You guys know that, right? But at the same time, everybody needs a good friend in your life. Because study after study after study shows that there's a connection between the quality of your life and the quality of your relationships. I was at my dad's 61st birthday party on Sunday, and we're sitting there, we're eating cake, having a good time, and, you know, just trying to forget about the Ravens loss, okay? So it was kind of a little rough on that side of things, but my dad's there, he's 61, it's a great time. And my brother said to my dad, he said, hey, Dad, what has 61 years taught you? And without missing a beat, my dad just said this. He said, I've learned that relationships and friendships are more important to you the older you get. He said, the older I get, the more I value my relationships, the more I value my friendships. How many of you know that's true? That's true. And so we need other people. You need other people. And that was the plan from the very start. In Genesis, you got Adam, and he's in the garden, and it's paradise. You know, and one day God walks up to Adam and he says, it's not good. Now, what's weird about that is everything up to that point had been good. God's creating, okay, he's making the sun, he's making the moon, he's making the ocean, he's making the seashore, he's making dogs, and everything is good, 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 good. So he hasn't made cats yet, okay, but he's made everything and it's good. And he says, it's all good. And then he gets to Adam, and he looks at Adam, and he's like, it's not good. Now, I'm sure Adam's like, me? Like, what'd I do? And God said, it's not good for you to be alone. Now, you've probably heard me or somebody like me say something like, God is all you need. And that'll preach, right? Then like, God is all you need. Now, you can put that on a t-shirt or a coffee mug or a motivational poster. That sounds good. That God is all you need. But I'm starting to believe that that's not true. Because what's crazy is, if you go to Genesis in the very beginning, you know, it's paradise. Sin hasn't even entered the equation. It's God and Adam and palm trees. God is all I need, right? But God walks up and says, it's not good for you to be alone. And God creates Eve. And I love what happens when he creates Eve, because Genesis 2, verse 23, we get Adam's reaction to this. He says, at last. With an exclamation point, at last. He's like, welcome to the jungle. My name is Adam. At last, the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called Whoa Man, because she was taken from man. Adam's like, God, I'm done naming these animals, because look who just showed up to the jungle. And so, listen, even in paradise, God knew it's not good for us to be alone. We were designed for relationship. And not just romantic relationship. Okay, brothers and sisters, lifelong friends, BFFs, football watching buddies. We are designed for relationship because it's not good when we're alone. Now, for some of you, this is really, really easy because you're an extrovert. All right, where are the extroverts in the room? Come on, let me see the extroverts. Don't be shy. You're not shy, but let me see. Okay, come on, extroverts, all the way up. Extend those. There we go. All right, I like extroverts. Extroverts freak me out a little bit, honestly, but extroverts are the people who can go up to like the Starbucks barista, just talking. They're the people who talk to the stranger next to them on the treadmill. They're like, man, I could talk to that drum set if I need to. I'll talk to anything. One more time, if you're an extrovert, give me a woo-hoo. All right, these are the party people in the room, all right? The rest of us, and I'm the captain of this team, are introverts, okay? You all wear us out, extroverts. Look, you can turn us, yeah. And so introverts, you know, like outside of this building, I am an extreme introvert. And I know that's kind of hard to believe, but that's just kind of how I'm wired. I'm an introvert. A lot of you guys are an introvert. Now, introverts, I'm not going to make you raise your hand because I don't want to give you a heart attack, okay? But as much as we are wired that way, we need friends just as much as our extroverts' friends need friends. And we don't need 500 friends, but we need a few friends. I remember when I came down here to be the lead, the campus pastor down here, and one of the first people I called, the first person I talked to was my wife, Stacy. The first person I called was Bo Dukes. And just so you know, Bo and I have known each other since sixth grade, and Bo and I are nothing alike, okay? Bo is an extrovert. I'm not. Bo can build things. I cannot. My car is clean. Bo's car looks like it should be condemned, okay? And so we are completely different, but I called Bo and I was like, listen, I'm going down to Rehoboth, and if I could have anybody to be my right-hand man, it's you. I would love for you to be that guy. And he's like, well, let's talk about that, because he's an extrovert. So he talked, and I listened, and eventually he was like, man, I am all in. And then he said this, and I'll never forget this. He said, now that I'm all in, he said, I think we need to talk on the phone every single day. Guys, I about dropped the phone and crashed my car. I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody on the phone every single day. But, introverts are polite, so I was like, okay, yeah, we can do that. I'm going to find the ignore button on this phone somewhere so I know how to handle these calls. And sure enough, Bo started calling me every single day, and it freaked me out at first. And Bo, fast forward 5 years later, Bo will tell you now, I call him more often than he calls me. I call him all of the time. And at first, it took me way out of my comfort zone as an introvert. But I'm telling you, I value our relationship so much. I love that guy back there. He's my best friend. He's a good dude. And I needed that in my life. And I didn't know I needed that until I had it. And so even introverts need friends, just like extroverts have friends. We just don't need 500 friends. And so we all need people, because paradise isn't paradise when it's just you and God. Paradise is paradise when it's you, God, and a few close friends. And so you got to reach out to God's people. How do we do that? That's the last and final point today, which is you got to engage with God's purpose. When you reach out to people, you're going to engage with God's purpose. Now, have you ever played the I'm going to wait to see how long it takes for them to reach out to me before I reach out to them game? Like, let's just see how long it takes. Anybody ever done this before? It didn't go so well, did it? Like this week, I sent the first text to somebody because I was like, I'm preaching, I'm reaching out, so I'm going to reach out. So I sent the text, and right away, I saw bubbles back. Like, they're writing me back. You guys know about the bubbles? And so I was like, all right, yeah, I'm reaching out, they're writing me back. And then the bubbles went away. The bubbles were there. I saw the bubbles, and then the bubbles went away. And the bubbles never came back. And it was pretty disappointing. And so sometimes when we're lonely, we pull back to see if someone will reach out to us. We're like, well, I'm not going to text my group of friends and see how long it takes for them to text me back. Or I'm not going to, like, you know, go to church for a while, go to my Bayshore group for a while, and just see, like, how long it takes for somebody to call me. And that is a dangerous game to play because you're going to be disappointed. And this is really important. Loneliness, when you feel that loneliness, that is your cue to reach out. That's your cue to reach out and not pull back. So you send the text. You make the phone call. You plan the party. You say hello to that person next to you in church. And by the way, when you say hello to them, maybe you're single and maybe they're single. And maybe they're cute and you're not. But since you said hello and you're in church, it might work out. I don't know. And when you reach out, you're engaging with God's purpose. Loneliness is your cue to reach out. And so, guys, we have so many ways for you to reach out, engage with God's purpose right here. Now, you might say, okay, what does that mean? Okay, one way that you can wrestle loneliness is when you just come to church, which you guys are doing right now. So if someone's near you, just give them a high five and say, I'm glad you're doing this. Come on. Some of you aren't playing my games. That's okay. Some of you did it. Okay, that's good. When you come here, you can fight loneliness because you can meet people right here. And so when you come to church, you don't have to be lonely. You can say hello to somebody. You don't have to play like the seven seats between me and the next person buffer game. You guys know that game? It's like, I got to make sure there's seven seats on all sides around me where no one's at, okay? Introverts, you all know what I'm talking about. But we have great people right here. And so one way that you can fight loneliness and reach out is just to come to church. And that's engaging with God's purpose. Another way is Friendsgiving. Who's coming to Friendsgiving? Any Friendsgiving people? Woo! And Friendsgiving, guys, it's going to be so much fun. The whole night is designed for you to meet people that you didn't know before you walked in here. Now, introverts, don't bail on me because I just described it that way. I was in the strategy meetings for this, and I was like the introvert's advocate. But it's going to be a lot of fun. We put a lot of things in place just so you can meet some people that you haven't met before. So Friendsgiving is another way. Another way that you can fight loneliness is volunteering. And we have the best volunteers on the planet at our church. I love our partners. I love our volunteers. And maybe you're not volunteering because you're like waiting for me to ask you or for somebody from the church to ask you. And so everybody do me a favor, okay? Everybody just start doing this. Come on, I need to hear them. Come on. Do you feel that? It's me. I would like to invite you to serve and volunteer with our teams. And we have great opportunities for you, babies and kids, which is such a great place to serve. I love what's going on back there. So much energy, so much fun back there. Our production team there in the back, our guest services team, which are the people who say welcome to church and hand you the program when you walk in here. And when you do that, when you volunteer, you are meeting other people. You meet people that you serve with on your teams. You meet people as they walk in the doors. You get first dibs at refreshments. It's good. That's good. You get to meet people like Carrie Miller over here. And I'm not going to make Carrie stand up, but we have Carrie's picture. We'll throw up here on the screen. That's Carrie. And everybody say hi, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
See, she said hi because Carrie is a raging extrovert. She really is. And Carrie serves on our guest services team, and she's maybe the person who said to you this morning, welcome to church when you walked in. And this week, I sent Carrie, as well as a bunch of people on our volunteer teams, just a thank you note saying, hey, thank you for serving. You're awesome. And right away, Carrie wrote me back in like 0.2 seconds. Like classic extrovert move, Carrie, okay? And so Carrie wrote me back, and she said, you know, I know you're thanking me, but she said, I love getting to serve with the people on my teams. And she said, I love standing there at the doors because I get to meet our church. I get to meet our congregation, she said. And Carrie then said that her kids invite everybody they know to church. And so she likes to be at the front door so that when those people come to church, she can see them. And so Carrie is awesome. And that is it. That is engaging with God's purpose. And so if you want to sign up and volunteer with Carrie or any of our teams, Carrie's going to be at the table right out there in the lobby when you walk out of here. And just stop by and say hi to her. And I promise you, she's going to say hi back, because that's how Carrie is. She will talk to you, and she is awesome. And Carrie, if you sign up for our media and production team or for our guest services team or babies and kids, she's going to give you one of these shirts, because we are not above bribing people here. And we're going to get you plugged in. And here's what's great about serving here. You get a front row seat to what God is doing here, but you also get each other. And that's so important. And so that's one way that you can engage with God's purpose. Listen, whenever you feel lonely, just know you're not the only one who's experienced loneliness. We've all felt loneliness before. And loneliness is your cue to reach out. And when you reach out to God's people and you're in their presence, which is right here, we're here for you. That's what I love about our church. And if you feel lonely in other ways, just know that God's presence goes before you and it goes behind you. He's got your front and he's got your back. And he is with you. That's why he knows everything about us, because his presence is his promise for your loneliness. God is greater than my loneliness. He's greater than your loneliness. He's greater than our loneliness. Let me pray for you all. God, I'm so thankful for David's words. I love Psalm 139. It's such an encouraging look at your presence. And when David talked about your presence, he didn't look at it as punishment. And David certainly has the stuff in his past that could have led him to look at it that way. But he just looked at it and he said, this is so good. And he talked about your blessing, God. And so, God, I just pray that for us, when we feel lonely, we can always experience your presence and know that it's there. And help us have the confidence that your presence is with us, even when we don't feel it and when we feel lonely. And outside of that, God, I just pray that you'll help us to have relationships in here with your people. I pray that we will reach out and we will engage with your purpose, whether that's through volunteering or just picking up the phone and calling a brother or a sister that we haven't talked to for 5 or 10 years. And God, I just pray that you'll help put those people in our life and give us the courage to reach out when we need to reach out. And we love you and we thank you for all you're doing in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.